Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're ready.
Praise God.
We are ready. Praise the Lord. Yes, yeah.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Good to see you. God bless everyone that's here. Okay, December the 7th, important day. It's Sunday, December the 7th. It's our 7th anniversary celebration and our Christmas potluck dinner, so we want everybody to come on December the 7th. We'll have potluck over here right after the service, so bring your favorite dish, bring your family and friends. We'd love to have you. Next thing, Christmas tree. We're up to $18,850 with all the grants and the shopping and the gift cards and the gifts that people are bringing to me. And I still have to do one more shopping round for clothes. And I've got 42 gift cards. It's a couple thousand dollars. And I've got 75 Six Flag tickets that are $4,500. So I need some more money. So if y'all can help, please help, because then once I finish with Christ Haven for Children, then I'll go over next to the Grace and then Salvation Army and the Justin Community Closet. So if you can help in any way, we'd appreciate it. Last year we gave Christmas to 4,232 children and elderly. We give also to 8 nursing homes in Denton. And also we raised $72,906 last year. So God's good. So if you can participate, we would love it. Thank you so much.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, yeah. If you do give, when you give through the church for the Christmas deal, be sure on your envelope or whatever, or your check, be sure and write, you know, for Christmas or for children or something, so sure we'll know where to put that money. Otherwise, it goes into the general fund for the church. So praise the Lord. Okay, welcome. Praise the Lord. It's good to have each one of you here today. Does anybody know what happened, since we're talking here in just a couple of weeks, December the 7th, does anybody know what happened on December the 7th in 1941? Pearl Harbor. So, okay, we haven't forgot yet, have we? We have not forgot what happened. Just think, what a Sunday morning, huh? A lot of men died that day. I'm glad that I serve the King of the Kings and Lord of Lords, aren't you? I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I know Jesus. And I'm glad I have the Word of God. You know, that's the most important thing that I have is the Word of God. Because I'm telling you, if you don't have the Word of God to read it and study it yourself, I can assure you as you go through life, without revelation, direct revelation from the Holy Spirit, you will miss a lot of things in God's Word. In fact, I was talking this morning with a gentleman earlier. I said he listened to a man, a great man of God here in the Metroplex, preach on unforgiveness. And he said not one time did he mention any of the consequences that could come upon you or your family if you did not forgive. He just said we should forgive with everyone. And I told him, I said, well, you know, maybe he doesn't know it. You know, I feel like he doesn't know it for the simple reason I remember the first time that a man asked me to come over on a Sunday morning. He asked me to come over to a couple's house that was a member of his church in Fort Worth. And he said she had a tremendous problem and she had had a hysterectomy and everything else trying to get rid of her cramps and pains. But it didn't happen. It wouldn't work. She couldn't get rid of her cramps and pains. So he wanted to know, he said, I believe the problem is spiritual. Now, this is a Baptist preacher that I'm talking to. But he's always been a good friend of mine for many years. And he went to Baptist Seminary and everything else and graduated with honors. He was a very smart man. But he said, I believe this problem with this woman is spiritual. He said, would you come over this afternoon after you go to church this morning, come over about 2 o'clock and meet me in Fort Worth and I'll take you to their house and we'll minister to this family. And I told him, yes, I'll be happy to. So I went. And when we got there that afternoon, we went in and we met the family and everything. And then here they brought this woman in. And when she sat down in the chair there in front of me, she wouldn't look at me. She wouldn't talk to me or nothing. And so I finally just knelt down there in front of her. And I told her, I said, you know, ma'am, you have a demon. You have a demon. I know you have a demon. And I'm going to command that beast to come out of you. And he's going to come out of you. Now, she wouldn't even look at me. And so I just took her by the arm, and I said, and of course, her husband was standing there, and her 4 sons were standing there, and this Baptist preacher was standing there. Everybody was watching this. And when I kind of took a hold of her and I said, now you devil of hell, I command you to come out of her in the name of Jesus. And he spoke to me out of her mouth and said, I do not have to obey you. I do not have to come out. I have legal right to be here. Well, I thought he was lying. I said, you lying devil. I know you're a liar. I know the devil's a liar. So I know you have no legal right in there. So you must come out of her whenever I command you to come out. And I commanded him to come out again. And she says, he said out of her mouth, I told you I have legal right to be here and I will not come out. So I'm kind of new in the demon world. You know, I'm not too up to snuff on this thing, if you want to call it that. So I looked up, and now when you have a problem, where is the place to go to get answers? Lord. Hey, he knows everything. So I said, Lord, I said, I have a problem here. This demon says he has legal right to be here. And Lord, I believe he's lying. So I said, I need wisdom from you. And he said, son, he has legal right to be there because I sent him there. Is there anybody else up there? Because that can't be right. Lord, you didn't send a demon into somebody's life. That's impossible. You would never do that. You're a loving, sweet God. And so I think, okay, now I said, Lord, one more time, I have this problem. This demon is telling me he's not coming out because he has legal right. You're telling me he's there because you sent him? You sent a demon into a woman? And he said, yes, son. I said, Lord, I got to have scripture for that. He said, son, I told you clearly in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. You've read it many a time. But he said, now you need to believe it. So I mean, that scripture come flooding back into my heart. I thought, Lord, that is what that says. Now, it's amazing how many times I had read Matthew 18, 21 through 35, but it never had locked in. I didn't have this kind of a concept of who God was. I didn't know God would judge us like this. I didn't know God would put sickness upon us. I didn't know God would send demons to us. I didn't know that. And so whenever those scriptures begin to come back, if you hold unforgiveness in your heart, I, the Lord, will send a tormenting spirit to torment you, and you will not get out until you pay me every penny you owe me, until you get rid of that unforgiveness. All of a sudden, I said, those scriptures come flooding in my heart and my mind. I said, ma'am, you've got unforgiveness towards somebody. Do you know who it is? And immediately her husband, which was knelt right beside her there to share, he said, oh yeah, that's real simple. Said it was her first husband. Said, you see those two boys over there? I said, yeah. He said, those two boys there, that's hers and his. And said, when she got pregnant with that second one, he ran off and left her and he never helped her. He never paid a penny for her. She has hated him with a passion ever since. He said, those other two boys are mine and hers. So he said, two of them's hers. Said, all four of them's hers, but two of them are hers and her other husband and two of them are mine. And said, she has hated her first husband because of the way he treated her. I said, ma'am, you've got to forgive him. She said, no, I will never forgive him. Now I realize that's the demon. So I said, now then that I'm beginning to get this revelation, I begin to say, okay, Lord, I know I have power over him, but I know that he has a legal right now because I remember Matthew 18, and you sent this demon because she had an unforgiveness toward her first husband. So I said, ma'am, you've got to forgive him. I said, well, I asked her husband, I said, what's his name? And he told me, I said, okay, ma'am, repeat after me. I'll use Virginia. That wasn't her name. I, Virginia, forgive so-and-so from my heart. And of course, I had to drag that out of her. I mean, she just didn't want to say it. Now I know it was the demon holding that back, where I said, I command that thing that for her. And after she finally said that, I forgive my first husband from my heart. I promise to love him. And when she said that, I said, now you devil of hell, you have heard with your own ears this woman repent of her sin. So now you have no longer legal right to her. So I demand and command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of this woman and go to the abyss. Just like that. That devil didn't even argue with me. He was gone in one heartbeat. Just see, that's why you have such a failure trying to cast out demons. Because there's several reasons why we have troubles casting out demons. Number one, there's a sin that's opening the door for them to be there. And when you learn that God is the one that puts demons on you, it's the devil. I mean, if the devil could just come by and say, oh, I'm gonna kill you today. If we had no power over him whatsoever, if he just said, you know, I don't like you today, I'm going to kill you. If you didn't have power and authority over him from God, no, all of us would be dead, wouldn't we?
Right.
Yeah, the devil, I mean, he would love to kill us. But since I've learned he works for God, just like Jeff said yesterday in the healing school, all things were made by God. Is that what it says?
Yes.
We all know that, but yesterday at a healing school. And then, of course, it's amazing how Jeff took the scripture yesterday, because sometimes we say, all things were made by God. Okay, well then, what do we think? What do we think? Ben, what do we think he means when he says, all things were made by God? Normally we think good things, right? I mean, because we've been programmed to think that God is good, and so he couldn't create evil or do anything wrong, so those things had to come from somewhere else, but they couldn't have come from God. That's kind of the way we think, isn't it? So that's why we get in trouble. So just like Jeff said yesterday, he said, now here then, it says here, and he went to Colossians and said, God made everything visible, everything invisible, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness, all things were made by God. Now then, why did he have to tell us that? Because we think all good things are made by God, but the bad things, where did they come from? According to the scripture, they come from God too, right? So see, we know that here, but you know, most people, you go to the average church, and most people don't know that. They do not know and do not understand, and so therefore they're afraid of the devil. They have no idea about sickness and disease. And I remember yesterday, somebody told me when Joseph and Lori were here yesterday, but I did not see them. But I remember Joseph's story well about his sister, how that whenever she was about, I don't know, 70-something years old, I think, somewhere in that range, she came down with cancer. She went to the doctor. She was a great Christian woman. She went to the doctor, and the doctor diagnosed her with terminal cancer. You're only going to live a few months at best. And so we need to start chemo and radiation right now. And she says, no, now that I know what's wrong with me, I know what to do to get rid of it. See, she had learned these principles about unforgiveness. So she came back and told her pastor that she wanted to repent of her sins of unforgiveness toward a certain woman that was in the church. And see, as long as she's getting by with it, she's not going to forgive. That's kind of, isn't that, Jack, isn't that kind of the way we are? I mean, if there's no consequence, well, it's a good idea to forgive them. You don't know what she did to me. I'm not going to forgive her ever. But all of a sudden, next week or two, you get to feeling really rugged, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, I'm sorry, you have terminal cancer, and you only got 6 weeks to live. Well, I seem to remember somewhere it said in the Bible that if I hold a grudge, I get a demon. Lord, I've changed my mind about that woman. I can forgive her now. Is that right? I mean, why do you think God does those things to us? He does those things to bring us back to him and put us back in line with where we're supposed to be. And so unfortunately, most people don't know these principles. They don't know them. And so if they don't know them, sometimes they just keep on holding that grudge against somebody, right? And then they die. Oh, well, wasn't that a shame? But I mean, we prayed. We've read James 5:14. We had them come down and anoint with oil and all kinds of things, but this person didn't get well. So the Bible don't work. Oh yeah, it works. It works. You got to read it all. You got to forgive. And if you forgive, then just like that Joseph's sister, she forgave that woman. They prayed over her, anointed her with oil. And then somebody said, well, are you going back to the doctor? She said, absolutely not. She said, I've been to the doctor. I've been to the best doctor in the universe. And I know what my sin was. It was unforgiveness. And so I forgive that woman. And now then Jesus made me a promise, a guarantee from his word, that if I call the elders and they anoint me with oil and pray the prayer of faith over me, I will be healed sometimes. Is that what he said, Andy?
No.
He promised us healing every time, did he not? When we believe him. And so she believed him with no doubt in her heart. So she never went back to a doctor. Her 6 months came, her year came, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and she's still going and blowing strong and healthy. And then one day, I don't know, 10, 15 years later, whatever it was, 20 years later, she finally died. She just got old and wore out and died. Now, are we all going to die someday? Yeah, we're all going to die someday. These things that we live in, they're earthly, and you can't take it to heaven with you. You wouldn't want this thing in heaven anyway. You know, you want to leave this thing here because this is just dirt. It's amazing what God can do with a piece of dirt. You know, every time I sit down and eat a good meal, Gracie, when I sit down and see something really beautiful in front of me, I think, you know, God, them strawberries, you made them out of dirt. Isn't that something? Is that something, Mike? That he can do such a good job with dirt. And then each one of us are made out of dirt. And so you really are not much. You know, when you really think, oh, I'm something, or maybe I'm good looking or beautiful or handsome or whatever, don't even think about it, because you're just a piece of dirt. That's all you are. You need to realize God made you out of a piece of dirt. How can he do that, Mary? He's awesome, isn't he? He's beyond my wildest dreams. I will never be able to understand God. But I do know that where I'm going someday, and someday I have a destiny, and my destiny is heaven. And I know one thing for sure, when I get there, usually this, you know, you notice that the people that Jesus rose from the dead, they were all young, except Lazarus, he was middle age. But you know, when people say, you know, I want you to come over and pray over my aunt, my uncle, my granddad, or whatever, I said, how old is he? Well, he's 90 or whatever. And I said, forget it. You know, he's lived his life. Just let him go home. And of course, we're all going to have to die, right? I don't think God wants us to come back here and live when you get old and wore out. I mean, as long as you're old and you've walked in faith and you're still able to get around and go and do things, ain't nothing wrong with living to be old. You know, but if you don't know how to walk by faith, and you've never walked by faith, and you've never been to a faith-teaching church, and I see people all the time, 60 years old, and you know what's out of their mouth? I'm old. I'm wore out. I have trouble getting around. I'm old. I hear people talk like that all the time. We should never talk like that as sons of God. You know, we're sons and daughters of God, and God has done a great work, and he's doing a great work. And when we repent of our sin and walk in love, if we walk in love, how many of God's promises are yes and amen? All. Oh, isn't that something? They're all. So why should we have any doubt in our heart that he will not do what he said? But we do. You know, we doubt God, and our unbelief is the biggest sin that we carry around. And so we're going to have to learn how to get rid of that thing. Now then, I want to read something to you, because I believe with all my heart we are in the last days. Don't you? Don't you believe Jesus is coming soon? Okay, I want us to look at some scriptures. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we read your word, study your word, ask you to give us all revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from your mighty word, that we may hear your word and obey your word and do what you say in these last days, so we can be used of you mightily to do great things for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, 34 through 58 is where we're going to start in the NLT. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. Isn't that something? It almost makes no difference in the Bible which book you open. It has these kind of information in it, doesn't it, Andy? So he must be serious about this, huh? Think about things before you do something. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to our shame, I say that some of you don't even know God at all. You know, now you understand where me as the pastor, where I come from, when somebody comes to me and says, when I ask them, are you a Christian? Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a good Christian. Okay, so are you married to that girl there? No, well, no, I'm not married to her. In fact, I think it was a week ago or whatever it was, whenever I saw on the news one night, I might have already told you this, I don't know, but there was a man and woman, and it was in the Metroplex here somewhere at one of the hospitals. They had little twins, and one of those twins had already died. Did anybody see that on the TV, on the news? Nobody? Nobody saw that. Okay. There's a couple, a man and a woman, and they had twins, and one of the twins had already died, and the other one was fighting for its life. And I'm sitting there watching this on the news thinking, I wonder what sin they committed that caused those two children to die. Because there's a sin. I guarantee there's a sin somewhere. It doesn't just accidentally happen. You know, one set of twins doesn't just accidentally die, and another set of twins come out of there bopping up and down doing the hula hoop, you know? I mean, You know, there's something wrong with this deal when some of them are healthy like that and some of them are not. And when they die, since I've learned what I've learned from God's Word, I want to know what the sin was. And while I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, I wonder what the sin is that killed these two children. Almost immediately after I made that statement, the news commentator said, this couple is thinking about getting married. Do you see any sin there? Did God tell them not to do that? Is there any precedent anywhere in the Word of God where something like this happened? Did we ever see a man that committed adultery and God killed his baby for... Where's that at? Who was that? It was David, wasn't it? King David committed adultery with a woman, got her pregnant. He wasn't married to her, although he had several wives. That wasn't a problem now. He's got all the women in the world that he needs, you know. I guarantee, you know, when you got two or three or four of them, that's all you can take care of. I guarantee you don't need another one. But he thought he did, and so he sinned. And he had sex with a woman he wasn't married to. And God was so upset with him, he killed that child. It's clearly written in God's Word, is it not? And the Lord struck, it doesn't say the devil struck the child either in the Word, does it? It says, and the Lord struck the child with sickness, and the child died in 1 week because of David's sin. If anybody wants to look that up and read that whole story, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 12 is where you'll find that. But it's an awesome story. And you got to remember that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Is that right? So anyway, that's kind of amazing. But to start off with, think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. Now then, is it right to have sex and have children without being married? No, it's absolutely not. That's absolutely wrong. So God says, think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't even know God. So whenever some of us that maybe we come to church once in a while and we don't obey God, we don't do what he says, we're lying or cheating or stealing or whatever we're doing. Well, I mean, you know, God understands. He don't mind me cheating a little here or whatever. But I think he does, don't you, Andy?
Oh, yeah.
He's not into this sin business, is he? He's into the pureness and holiness business, isn't he? And that's what he expects from you and me, right? And when we obey him and do what he says, is life good? He'll answer your prayers, won't he? Yes, he will. I'm telling you, God is awesome. But see, he's telling us what to do here. Okay, let's go to verse 35. Let's go on down through here. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of body will they have? Verse 36. What a foolish question when you're put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. Next verse. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Verse 38. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. And that's absolutely true. And that's amazing to me how God can make so many kinds of seeds. And it's also amazing to me how you can take a sack of seed that all the seed may look like the same stuff, but you'll see down in there, maybe there's a few other little things that don't look exactly like that seed that you're planting. And you plant those, and my goodness gracious, whenever you have that thing area come up, there's every kind of plant, flower, and everything else. Because every kind of seed that was in it, they all come up, don't they? And you can have all kinds of things, all kinds. Okay, verse 39. Simply, there are different kinds of flesh. One kind for humans, and another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. Verse 40. There are also bodies in the heavenlies and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. You know, if there is ever anything that confirms to me that there is a mighty God, it's when I go outside at night, like last night, there was a gorgeous moon. Did any of y'all see that big, beautiful, gorgeous thing that was up there last night? Wasn't it beautiful? I mean, the thing is only 240,000 miles. Just think, 240,000 miles, and how close did it look like it was? It looked really close. It sure didn't look 240,000 miles away, did it? But wasn't it beautiful? I look at that and I think, and God, you put that out there. You put that out there for us. And if you hadn't put that out there, that we could not have control. I mean, the moon has such control with this magnetic pull over the tides and everything else. Isn't that amazing how that the magnetic pull that God put in those things can cause all the different things it does? I mean, if there was anybody that has a brain, and I mean, you know, if you have a brain and you can do something besides take it out and play with it, you got to believe that there is a God out there. Is that right, Mary? I mean, when you look at the wonderful, I don't even know if you saw the moon last night. Did you see it? You saw it, Tony? Wasn't it beautiful? That makes a young man want to just hold his honey bunny up close, doesn't it? That's the way it moved on me. Me and Cheryl, I drove down and said, this is the courting moon right here. Makes me want to, we're going to the restaurant to eat after the healing school, we're coming back. I just thought, wow, our car's got one of those islands in the middle of it, you know, and I can't get over there, but I want to just crawl over there and put my arm around her and tell her how much I love her. It's a courting moon. It was so beautiful to think about God created that big, beautiful golden moon just for us for many reasons. But he put that thing up there, and he's so awesome. Oh my goodness! The heavenly bodies, the glory of it is different, because I just stand in awe. I guess I get so excited about the cosmos. One day, do you know? One day when I go to heaven, do you know that I'm going to live in a glorified body that is going to be so awesome, a spiritual body? I'm going to be just like Jesus. Now that's what he said. Don't take an offense. I mean, that's what the master said. He's going to make us just like himself. Is that right, Scott? Just exactly like Jesus. So as he's training us here to be overcomers and to believe his promises, I can just see it one day, maybe 1,000 years from now, maybe 1,000,000 years from now. I don't know. But I can see him come up and put his arm around one of us and say, come over here, son or daughter. The cosmos right here where we are is getting a little crowded. In other words, nobody's dying. So there's people being born all the time. So we're getting a little crowded right here. So I need another little galaxy right off over there in the north. Speak me a galaxy into existence with 5 suns and 24 planets, and you do that. What do you think? You think you're up to this? Somebody said, how do you come up with such wild things? Well, I believe that if you're led by the Spirit of God, as you study the Word, God's going to reveal to you, just like he said in 1 Corinthians 10, he's revealed these things to us by his Spirit. He said, now eye has never seen and ears never heard the things that God's prepared for those of us that love him. Do you love the Master? Yes. So, but he has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. So if you're meditating on the Word, if you're just meditating on God, I guarantee you, he's going to put things upon you. He's going to put ideas upon you to be able to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. I mean, just think of the men that were Christian men, men that love God, men that serve God. And all of a sudden, one day, somebody come up with a wild idea. You know, instead of writing this out, there must be some kind of a machine that I could develop that would print for me. Somebody said, he's crazy. I think about by the time we got to the SR-71, when the engineer that designed the U-2, after this thing had flown and flown high above 100,000 feet and we flew around the world, we took pictures of Russia and everywhere. We knew what was going on. We knew where every submarine was in the world. We didn't have to worry about nothing. We were in control because most of us were serving God. But this engineer that built the U-2, all of a sudden he got this wild idea. You know, I know these kind of things just happened. You know, just out of the wild blue. You don't have to have an outside influence. All of a sudden you decide, I want to build an airplane that'll fly higher and faster than any kind of airplane we've ever had. One that can never be shot down. Nobody will ever have a rocket that'll be fast enough to catch it. And I want to build it. Well, he began to have the dreams about the SR-71. And so he began to build and design and put it on paper. And then he says, you know, I've got to have a couple of engines. He went to some engine manufacturers. I've got to have an engine that'll operate as a turbojet until it gets to Mach 2. And then it's got to convert to a ramjet because a turbojet can't go no faster than that. So we need an engine that'll automatically convert to a ramjet. They said, you're crazy. You've lost your mind. He said, no, I have not. He said, build it. And guess what? They built it. And it now has been, and now then, of course, that thing flew the first time, I think, in 1962. So that'll tell you how far behind we are. In 1962, we had the technology to build and design an airplane that would fly higher and faster than anything had ever been known. And no other plant, no other government on the earth had a machine or a rocket that would fly high enough to knock that thing out of the sky. And we had this thing. And of course, I think it was in, I forget what year it was that they retired this thing, because I know it flew for about 30 years. This thing was flying around the United States and all over the world at it was made out of titanium. And at this upper speeds that it would fly, even at above 100,000 feet, this thing would fly so fast that even as thin as the air was at that altitude, still the leading edge temperatures would reach over 1,100 degrees. Now, you know, a 707 or a 747 or a DC-8 or whatever, anything I've ever flown, at 35 to 40,000 feet, the maximum temperature at 0.82, Mach 8.2, the most temperature rise I've ever seen on the wing is about 35 degrees. That's all there is at 8.2. 82% of the speed of sound, the only temperature rise is about 30, 35 degrees. But just think, you're warming the air up that much just because of the friction of the wing flying through the air. But that's an aluminum wing, and it'll stand that kind of temperature. But when you get it up to altitude and you got engines that'll push it and it'll go Mach 4, then the leading edge of those wings get up to somewhere around 1,100 degrees. Andy, that's hot in anybody's book. You know that? You couldn't hardly hold on to that, could you? No, not hardly. But somebody designed and built this airplane. Now then, here's the thing I'm saying. Where does these wild dreams and things come from? We've never seen such an airplane as this. We never had nothing like this. So who in the world comes up with this stuff? Men of God. Men of God, men that have served the Lord Jesus Christ and put Him first, and He moves on their hearts and shows them how to do things. He reveals to them through His Spirit the great and awesome things that only He can do. And He will reveal them to whomever He wants to. He'll show you things. He'll show you how to do awesome things. In fact, I had a real good experience last night as I was walking through after the healing school. I walked back to the back, and the refrigerator in the pantry in the back was open, standing wide open. So I immediately went up to the front and asked Dave's kids and Scott's kids, did y'all leave the refrigerator door open? No, we didn't leave the refrigerator open. Guarantee we didn't leave it open. I said, okay. But it was open. Well, John came to me a little bit and said, Papa T, we did go back there and get some milk, but I thought we closed the door. I said, okay, so I don't know how it got open. I'm going to go back there and see. So I went back there and I looked, and there was a big pan of something in a plastic bowl and a gallon of milk behind it. And where that they had moved the gallon of milk, they moved all that into a line. Now it's thicker than the refrigerator is. So when they closed it, it mashed that plastic bucket flat, or not flat, but mashed it a little bit. And the door, it sat there for a little while, because I closed it myself, and it stayed shut. And then I looked in about a minute later, it was coming open. And I thought to myself, I opened it up and looked, and I said, oh, that's what happened. When they moved it over, it did that. So I told Dave about it, and he said, this will be a perfect time for me to ask little John, was there something that spoke to you when you walked away? Go back and check the door. Because I can tell you for sure, that little guy, he's a man of God. Scott's kids are men of God. So the two boys or three or whatever went back there to get the milk. If they were not thinking about things in the flesh, if they were thinking anything at all about God, God was going to reveal to one of them or two of them, go back and check the door on the refrigerator. How many of you as grown men and women have had those kind of thoughts? You know, the Lord tells you to do something, right? I mean, who knows what it is? I mean, it may not be the refrigerator, but it may be when you're going to go shopping. Sometimes the sheriff forgets to turn the lights off, and she may get up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and say, oh, I think I forgot the lights. And if I happen to be awake, I say, well, I didn't. I turned them off. And sometimes I do. She said, but I forgot. And sometimes I say, oh, I didn't think about it either. So she gets up and comes out here and the Christmas lights are on. That's like one night we had a healing school and we went to eat and we come back in and it was about 10 o'clock time we got back from dinner. And I went in my office and I sat down and I turned my computer on to read emails. And I'm sitting there reading emails and all of a sudden I hear this voice just as clear as a bell. Son, go check the bathrooms in the church. I thought, what? Go check the bathrooms in the church. Now see, I can just slough this off or I can obey. So I had no idea, but I knew if the Spirit spoke to me and said, go check the bathrooms, there was something wrong He wanted me to correct. So I get up and I come down here and I walk in the first bathroom. Everything looks okay. I open the second bathroom. It looks okay. I open the third bathroom. The cold water faucet is running wide open. Now then, what if I hadn't have went and checked it? What if I hadn't have checked it till next Sunday? In one whole week, 24 hours a day, you know how many gallons of water could run through a faucet? A lot. But see, do you think God's interested in water? I think He's interested in everything on His creation. And if you're tuned into Him, you're listening to Him, you're going to hear His voice at different times. Like several of you that held up your hand, you know if you're listening to God, He's going to tell you what to do. In other words, He may tell you to go visit someone. He may tell you to go down to where to shop at somewhere, and you don't need to go there at all. But you think, well, the Lord told us to go down to here, so this particular place, so let's just go down there. You get there, and when you get there, you meet somebody that needs help. But you think, now we know why the Lord told us to come here. Because He is a God that speaks to His children, doesn't He? And if you're listening, be tuned in. Now then, if you're not taking into account what He said, if you're not thinking about what's right, you're not getting rid of sin, you're not walking in obedience to His Word, chances are you're not going to hear Him. Because your mind is going to be so tuned in and focused on the things of the world, you're not going to hear Him when He speaks to you. But if you're a daughter or son of God and you're thinking about God, I mean, your spirit is open and He can tell you what to do, and I can tell you. God, He will talk to you. I mean, when I spoke at Gateway here several years ago, there was a pastor there. I'll just call him John because there were so many pastors there. But anyway, I talked about hearing God's voice. And there was 25 pastors or something in that meeting that day that worked at Gateway. It's a big church. So anyway, when I got through, we're trying to have lunch. John, I'll say, call his name, John. He came over and told me, he said, Pastor, I've heard God speak to me audibly one time. I said, and would you mind telling me what happened? He said, no, I'll tell you. He says, I had been married a few years, not too many years, but a few. And he said, my wife and I had a little disagreement. Now, that's a shame for a pastor and his wife, but that's a shame for a Christian and his wife. We should never have those kind of issues. But unfortunately, we get into the flesh once in a while, and we let the flesh drive us. So he said, my wife and I had a disagreement. And so she got so upset with me, she said, I'm going home and spend some time with Mama. So he said, she left, and he said, I was kind of glad to see her go. I hate to say that, but sometimes there's times, when you think, okay, go ahead and go. I need a break. And so anyway, he was glad to see her go. So she'd been gone a couple of weeks. He hadn't called her nothing in 2 weeks. And so he goes down to get some groceries or something one afternoon, and he meets an old sweetheart from high school. Now we know where this is going, don't we? She said, oh, John, how are you doing? He said, I'm great. How are you doing? She said, how's your wife? I said, well, she's fine. He says, how's your husband? She says, well, I divorced him. I couldn't get along with him. And so she said, why don't we have a little lunch? It's a little after lunch. Have you eaten it? He says, no. She says, well, let's just have lunch and kind of talk about old times. And so they did. They talked for an hour or two and had lunch and everything. And she says, this conversation is really going good. Why don't we just go up to my apartment and talk a while? Now, what for a Christian man, what kind of flag should immediately go up? Red flags. Red, flashing red flags. But the flesh, is the flesh weak? Oh, does the flesh, is this flesh beast? That's why I call this thing, I live in my beast, because he's a beast. And so anyway, he said, I told her, okay. So said we went up there and said we were talking, and I forget what all they did. Maybe she made some popcorn or something. I don't know. But anyway, said in a little while she excused herself, and I thought, well, she's going to the bathroom or something. I'm sitting there, and a few minutes later she called and said, John, would you come in here and help me? And he says, oh, okay. So he said, I got up and I walked through the door where she'd went down the aisle to the bathroom, and there was the bedroom, and there she lay on the bed without a stitch of clothes on. Now, you tell me this flesh ain't weak? Now then, here's a woman laying there without a stitch of clothes on. Here's a man that hadn't had his wife in 2 weeks, and he's a young man. What do you think he's going to do? Oh, my goodness. So he said, I started taking my clothes off. And he said, I got my coat off, got my shirt off, and he said, I'm headed toward that bed, and I hear a voice. John, do you know what you're fixing to do with sin? He said, I stopped dead in my tracks, and I looked around to see. He said, there had to be somebody standing behind me. But said, there was nobody behind me. Now, who do you think that was? Absolutely. It was the Lord. There's a lot of times that men and women have had their lives saved because the Lord spoke to them before they did something, but they was already planning to do it. But he said, when I heard that voice, Thurman, he said, I looked around behind me everywhere. There was nobody in that room. But he said, all of a sudden, I knew that was God spoke to me. He said, I heard that loud and clear. John, do you know what you're fixing to do with sin? And so he said, oh, my gosh. So he said, man, I did get my clothes back on right quick. And I told her, I said, I just kind of said, bye, I'll see you later. And I didn't even go in that room or nothing. I left. I said, and the Lord saved you, didn't he? He said, yes, he did. Because the first scripture we read there a while ago, does God judge sin? Yes, he does. And so he saved John from maybe a death. So anyway, said he went home and called his wife and told her, honey, I forgive you, come home. And she did. She came home. Now, first of all, should that ever have happened between the two of them? Absolutely not. They should have been Christians walking in love. They should have walked in a God kind of love. And she should have never left her husband. It doesn't make any difference what he did, but he shouldn't have done that either. And all they need to do is both of them repent and get back in a love walk with each other, and everything goes good. Because when we listen to the flesh, it always is going to bring judgment upon us when we sin. And I don't like that. I don't think you will either. Okay, let's go to 41, next verse. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and the stars have another kind, and every star differs from each other in their glory. We don't even know how many stars there are. And I will have to say, Cheryl and I was listening to a gentleman here a while back that he teaches about the stars and the galaxies, and he's really a good pastor about this. He's really got some real good knowledge. And he told us in his little sermon, he said, you know, the earth is this big, and he talked about the earth being a golf ball. You know, that's about that big. And the sun being 15 feet in diameter, that's almost as tall as this room, 15 foot. So if the sun is 15 feet in diameter straight through, and the earth is about an inch and a quarter, here's the earth down here, and here's the sun out there. It's a good thing that thing is 93 million miles away, because if it wasn't, we'd burn up, wouldn't we? Now, what if it was just what if something happened and we got just a little out of kilter and we got just a little bit too close? What would happen to us? We'd burn up. What if we were to get out of kilter and we get just a few miles, a little bit out of this orbit? We'd freeze to death. Isn't that amazing? You know, I mean, we can see just on the little tiny tilt we get the difference between summer and winter around here. Sometimes in the summertime, it's 115 degrees in the shade, right, Mike? And them parts on them cars are hot, you can't touch them. But other times, it's so cold when you go out there, they're so cold you can't touch them. You know, and that's just with a little tiny variation in temperature. One time we got to have, in fact, one time my wife, we go outside, and man, she said, oh my goodness, it's freezing out. And she runs back in, puts in all kinds of coats, gets all bundled up. And the next day we walk outside and she's pulling everything down to her skivvies. You know, I mean, she just, you know, it's so hot she can't believe it, you know. Wow, down to just a T-shirt or whatever, you know. It's so hot out here, I can't stand it. Well, how can it be just like today? Well, tomorrow, for instance. Tomorrow is going to be about 80 degrees tomorrow at noon, or 2 or 3 o'clock. 80 degrees tomorrow, but yet the next day at 2 or 3 o'clock is going to be 50. Yeah. And then the next day is going to be 40. Now, that all happens. And how do you understand how all that happens? I don't. I know God's in control and He's the one doing it. So if He can turn the air conditioner on or the heater on today, and tomorrow it's going to be 80 degrees out there, and that's going to be a gorgeous day. But if He turns the air conditioner on the next day and it's 40 when, or maybe 30 when we get up the next morning, I'm not going to be running around out there in my short sleeve shirt. That's for sure. I'm going to need a jacket. You know, but who does all that? God does all that. And all this glory of the sun, the moon, the stars, and all this thing, and to think He's in control. He knows exactly how many suns and moons and stars they are. Now then, this pastor that teaches on these things, he said, he was telling us about how big the sun was and how little the earth was and all this stuff about it. And you're standing there thinking a golf ball versus a 15-foot ball. And then he said, but the sun is really a very small star. Very small. And I thought, wow, small? Now, if you think the earth is small, just start trying to walk around it. You know, I mean, walk from here to town, you know, just from here to Louisville, you know, 15 miles, you know, you think it's pretty big time you get there, right, Jason? That's a long way. But it's nothing compared to its size. In fact, he says, well, as he gave us this, he said, there is another star out there in our galaxy that he told how many times bigger it was than the sun. And then he told about this star Betelgeuse. And I can remember that because the name is so fantastic. I'll never forget that. He said, when I found out how big Betelgeuse was compared to our sun, when you take the sun and the earth, the golf ball and the 15 foot, the sun to the Betelgeuse is many times bigger than that. So the star Betelgeuse is many times bigger than our sun, many times. But yet it's so far away out there in our galaxy, you can't even see it other than a teeny little speck of light. He said, when I found out that God made that thing, I told God, I said, God, I'm sorry that I ever tried to give you counsel. I don't think you need it. But now let me tell you, do we do that to God? Yes, we do. Every time, not every time, but most of us, in fact, I'll give that, I'd love to give Kim's a little experience. When she learned that she could forgive sin, and lots of people never get a hold of that, but it's written in John 20, 23. The Lord literally spoke to her one night and told her, because of remit the sins of this block so I can turn the power back on. And immediately the first thing she's arguing with God, God, I can't do that. Isn't that right, Kim? Now, is that the way we normally do things? See, you were still a little bit in the flesh, girl. And the flesh, now if you'd have been totally in the Spirit would have just said, yes, sir, Lord, I'll do it. But see, we can live in the Spirit and in the flesh at the same time. And so when He spoke to her and she says, Lord, I can't do that. And then, of course, the Spirit took hold and slapped her in the chops about twice and said, you can do that. Think about what you've learned in church. So she said, Lord, I'm sorry. I can't remit sins. So Father, in Jesus' name, I remit the sins of this block. And the minute she did that, the power came back on. Amen. I mean, it didn't happen 5 minutes later. It happened right there. So when God speaks to you, remember who you're dealing with. Is that true? When He tells you something from His Word, believe Him, right? When He tells you to repent of your sins and be prayed for in faith, believe Him. Don't go into unbelief. Because if you're in unbelief, I mean, I told the story yesterday about Bo Davis. He was here. Since he was here, I told the story. I said, Bo and Elaine started coming to my church in Dallas years ago, and Bo had a bad back. I mean, he had tremendous back problems, and he was always in pain. Some of you may have known him when he was back there. I don't know if you did or not. But anyway, he had gotten some of my teachings. He'd been listening a long time for a year or two, whatever, and he got some of my teachings. He's headed for New Mexico, and he's driving across there, and he's listening to my tapes about the power of God, and he just said, God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what Thurman teaches is true because it's right out of your word. So he said, if what he teaches is true, why do I still have this back pain? And the Lord spoke to him and said, because of your unbelief. He said, Lord, I repent for my unbelief. And guess what happened? He was instantly healed. And Bo has never had a back problem from that day to this. And he was here yesterday sitting right there in that seat right close to where Ann's sitting. And I told that story and he said, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. What does unbelief do to us? It keeps us down. The promises of God are there. And He kind of gave us some of these pictures of the cosmos to let us know, hey, if you think there's a problem with me healing your body, Just look at what I've created. Look at the sun and the moon and the stars and the glory of all this. Ladies and gentlemen, I did this for you. Did he do this for us? Ben, did he make that the stars and everything for you and me? He did. He is awesome, but he made all them things for us. Let's go to the next verse. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are placed in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. How long are you and I going to live?
Forever.
Let me tell you what. When you place that body, and I place the bodies of my whole family, mothers and dad and grandmothers and grand, all of them, I have been there with every one of them, and we put every one of them in the ground, in their body, but not one of them is in that grave today. They wasn't there 5 minutes after they died. I can tell you for sure, I was sitting on the side of the bed when I was about 9 or 10 years old with my dad's dad. He had a heart attack and died. I don't know how old he was, about 70, I think, or 75, I'm not sure. But he was somewhere along there. But I was sitting there on the side of the bed when the doctor came by and checked him. And he told my dad, well, he's not very stable. So he said, I've got another place to go. And of course, this is a little country town. He said, I'll be back in an hour or two to check him. So I'm sitting there looking at him. I sat there the whole hour or whatever it was when the doctor came back. He looked at him, checked him, and did some things, and he called my dad in and says, your dad is gone. Well, let me tell you, the minute he closed his eyes in death, his body didn't change. But I'll tell you for sure, his spirit went away. And that spirit would never have come back to that old wore-out body, I guarantee you. Because they were digging a hole to bury a butane tank in when he had the heart attack. So who wants to come back and finish digging a hole for a butane tank? Especially if you ain't got a backhoe. You know, back in those days when I was a kid, we didn't have no tractors. You know, some of you don't remember those days and don't have any idea. And work on this earth can be fun or it can be hell. That's for sure. And so I don't know about you, but I watched this guy, this black guy. He died sometime in the not too distant past. And he went to heaven, and he was dead for an hour and 45 minutes. And he was on, let's see, I forget which show it was, Sid Roth or somebody, I forget what it was. But anyway, I think it was a Jewish voice, that's what it was. He was on the Jewish voice. He died, and he went to heaven. And he said he went through that black veil, just like Howard Pittman told us, he went through that black veil. And when he got on the other side, he got to have an audience with Jesus. And so he was very amazed at what he got to see. And he said, the thing that was the most awesome about heaven, nothing is dead. Nothing. He said, you don't realize on this earth, everything is in a process of dying. Everything. So he said, you do get used to the smell of the decay that's going on the earth. Now, I can associate with that because when I went to Cairo, Egypt for the first time, and they opened the door on that airplane, I never smelled such stink in my life as I did at Cairo, Egypt. That's got to be the stinkiest place I've ever been in my life. I couldn't hardly breathe. But after I'd been there a few hours, guess what? I got used to it. You know, I was there 3 months. And then it didn't bother me no more. But it's the stinkiest place I've ever been in my life. But this guy that died and went to heaven, he said that everything is alive. He said even the tables were alive. They talked to you. Nothing is dead in heaven. In other words, a tree, it's alive. If they made a table out of a tree, that table's still alive, and it will talk to you. You can carry on a conversation with it. Wouldn't that be something? That's almost as interesting as Balaam and his donkey. Now, who would think that God would make a donkey talk? But did he do that in the Scripture? He did, didn't he? So if you can talk to your donkey, you know, you can talk to your children. We don't think anything about talking to one another because we're all alive, right? We don't think nothing about it. But you don't very rarely talk to other things like your table. In other words, did you know the Scripture in the book of Job says, speak to the earth? It says, speak to the earth and it will show you things. Now, how many of us go around talking to the earth? Very few people. But you know, who knows what we might learn if we would believe the Scripture and do what it said. Talk to the earth. You know, I mean, Jesus told us to talk to the mountain, didn't he? Did he tell us to speak to the mountain and the mountain would move? Now, if that mountain's not alive, how's that mountain going to move if it's not alive? It's something to think about, right? Most people don't think about talking to that. In fact, my dad, when I was growing up, tomatoes, I've seen him do this several times. We go out to the tomato plants and they're not putting out hardly nothing. And Dad would get him a little switch off of the tree there. He'd start whooping them plants and say, produce. In the name of Jesus, I command you to produce. And I think, what is wrong with my dad? I didn't say anything because he's dad. You know, I mean, I don't. But a few days later, I come by there and those plants are just covered with little blooms. I thought, I wonder what he knows that I don't know. He's speaking and whipping those plants and they're producing for him. So anyway, I was over here at the field house the other day, way back in the spring, and one of the young men that lives over there, I was out there and he was all fussing about his garden. I said, what are you fussing at your garden for? He said, Thurman, I've spent all this money, I've done all this work, I've plowed, I've tilled, I've done everything. And he said, my garden, it don't look like it's going to make nothing but weeds this year. I said, have you prayed over your garden? Guess what his answer was?
No,
I never prayed over my... Did God tell us to pray over everything with thanksgiving? Then what do you think he meant? That's right, Scott. So I prayed over his garden. I prayed over everything. I asked the Lord to let the corn grow and the tomatoes grow and the potatoes. I said, Lord, make everything grow in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for the abundant garden this young man's going to have in Jesus' name. About 2 weeks later, I was over there and Bruce come to me and he says, Patrick said to tell you, thanks. He said, look at his garden. Man, I wonder if there were some plants that were that tall in 2 weeks. Now, what happens when we pray? So instead of fussing about things, what should we be doing, Andy?
Praying,
absolutely. Praying. If we pray, God has given us an awesome place on this earth, has he not? An awesome place. And he's given us the power to pray over things. Wow. We're talking about raising the dead. Verse 43, let's go to the next verse. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. I like that. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. Do you like to be strong?
Amen.
Man, I just think about what we can do if we walk in obedience to God's word. I mean, I was loading some stuff the other day and I'm thinking about how weak I have become compared to what I was 10 years ago. Really. And I just thought, I was loading some stuff. And then I went to a place and there was a man that was at least 20 years younger than me. He couldn't even touch what I'd put in that pickup. Couldn't even touch it. And I'm thinking, God, thank you that I'm your son. Now then, if I don't go there, if I believe that I'm strong, if I continuously confess according to the word, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I'm healed. I'm young. I'm vibrant. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know, have you read that Davidson's testimony about what he says every day? Have you read that? His confession's not negative, is it? I am the body of Christ. I mean, he just starts off, and that man is 92 years old today and still drives a car at night without glasses. 96? Wow, 96. Okay, I'm sorry I made a mistake. But you see how your confession is so important. And that guy, could he pass for 60?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, easy, he could pass for 60. Yeah. So, but what do? We go around and say, oh, I'm so old and I'm so wore out. I just can't make it today. Would you please help me up? Oh, Lord, give me a break. Oh, Lord. Christian people, oh, we're going to be raised in strength. Wow, verse 44. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as a spiritual body. For just as there are natural bodies, there also is spiritual bodies. Verse 45. The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. Verse 46. What comes first is the natural body. Then the spiritual body comes later. Adam was the first man, was made from the dust of the earth. while Christ, the second Adam, second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and the heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. I think we can be like that a lot right now. I really believe we can. Next verse. Okay, what I am saying is, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, he didn't say they couldn't be young and strong now. He just said we can't inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. Verse 51. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trump is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward for that day in the not too distant future. In fact, somebody sent me an email about this last week, and I listened to the little YouTube, and there was a pastor up there, and he had a pretty good sized church. And man, he was laying it down. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then those which are alive and remain with us, he's going to catch us away. Jesus is coming to rapture the church. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know him, make sure you accept him today before this day is over. And oh, Lord, I don't want to be one of those that's left behind. I want to be caught away, because the Lord's telling us this is what's going to happen, and it's going to happen in not too distant future. Now, then, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, is this going to happen to us, Scott? What if we don't know him as our Lord and Savior? We're going to be left behind, aren't we? And we don't want to be left behind when this event happens, do we? It will happen in a moment, in a blink or a twinkling of the eye, just like that. You're here and you're gone. When the last trumpet is blown, when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. So in a blink of an eye, just think, you start to take a step. You're just walking. You know, and I start to look up to say something to Andy, and all of a sudden, the next thing I see, me and him both standing in heaven together. What happened, Andy? The rapture just took place, right? I'm there, your family's all there, and we're in heaven with the Lord. And just think, can you imagine being in a place where everything is alive? But just think, does the Lord say the trees worship him? So if they're not alive, how can they worship him? You see, we just don't understand life like he understands life. We know a tree is alive because every year there'll be another little circle grow showing it gets bigger, right?
That's right.
If that tree's dead, does it do that?
No.
But see, in heaven, there won't be nothing dead. Everything's going to be alive. We're all going to be alive. Isn't that going to be awesome? Awesome to be in a place where God is alive and everything is alive and you and I are alive. We know that tree's alive, don't we? We know that everything's alive. I mean, everything is alive. And most of it's alive on earth, a lot of it. But there is things that's dying on earth, but they're not dying in heaven. Go to the next verse. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Well, isn't that going to be a wonderful day when death is swallowed up in victory? But you know, right now, as I look at dying, to me, it's not a big deal. Really, dying is not a big deal at all. I don't have a problem standing by faith for anything. And while I live or die, I'm just like Paul. Whether I live or die, it doesn't make any difference. But he says to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So if that's true, should I be worried about dying? No, see, people never could understand. When I lost my wife, my daughter, and almost lost my granddaughter, when that happened, I literally fell on my knees before God in that church when that police officer told me. I literally fell on my knees before the Lord and held my hands up and worshiped Him for 20 minutes. I'd just been told I've lost my wife, my daughter, and my granddaughter, and Kelly is in critical condition. How could I not bust into tears? Guess who I know? Who do I know?
Jesus.
The Lord, the Master. So if my wife and daughter are both killed, if they're both dead, are they going to be happy where they are? Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, somebody told me 6 or 8 months later after they died, he said something about reckoning your wife is thinking about you today. I said, there ain't no way. She said, what do you mean? I said, my wife loved diamonds, and I could never give her a very big one. But I can just see Jesus up there and they're giving her one that, you know, one that a rock this big on her. I said, she's looking at him and those diamonds. She ain't even thinking about me. I can guarantee you. I mean, you know, isn't it amazing how we look at things on the earth? You know, I mean, my wife today, just like, sure. I mean, I guarantee you, if something were to happen and we were to come into a large sum of money, one of the first things my wife would do is go buy her a big diamond ring. See, she said true. Why do girls like diamonds? What's wrong with you girls?
Why do you guys like airplanes?
Oh, let's don't talk about us guys. Let's talk about you girls. I don't want to talk about us guys. Because God made us guys different than He did you girls, right? That's the way He made y'all. He made y'all to love diamonds. You know, I know that because my wife, my daughter, they both love diamonds. Like I said, I never could get either one of them a very big one. But Cheryl, you know, she's no different. She is a woman and she loves beautiful diamonds, you know. And so I can guarantee you, if the Lord were to bless me somehow or something, or if I was to sell a piece of land or something and come up with a large sum of money or something, the first thing she'd want was, honey, you know, that diamond ring I looked at down there, that I would love for you to go get that for me. No, no, no. She would never do that, would she? Yeah, she would. I guarantee you she would. What does that tell us about ourselves? Just like when she said, I love airplanes. Am I going to need an airplane in heaven?
No,
I ain't going to need no airplane in heaven. In fact, I already made one trip to heaven. And I had completely forgotten it, but it was in a dream. But in the dream, I got to go to heaven because Cheryl wanted to see her puppy, the one that died. She said, Lord, please let me see Angel one more time. And so I prayed for her that she would get to see the puppy. And that night, I had a dream, and I was flying around in heaven. Just, I mean, I could see myself now. Boy, I just, you know, I mean, that's like Superman. You know, I'm just flying. And I fly around, and there's Angel. She's on the road. I said, Angel, get off the road, girl. You're going to get run over by a car. I saw Angel. Angel just looked up at me like this and just walked on down the road. Now, that was Cheryl's puppy that died. So she was in heaven. I know she's in heaven because I saw her in heaven. So anyway, when I woke up, I told Cheryl, I said, honey, I got to see your puppy. She's in heaven. She said, but I wanted to see her. I said, well, you'll have to take it from me because I'm your head. God let me see it. He didn't let you see it. But see, there's some things God lets the man do that the woman's not supposed to do. You know that? And I didn't write the book. I didn't write the rules. I just know that the wife is supposed to submit to the husband in all things. Now, I will have to say, you know, that you, if you're a wife, don't go out and do something about without your husband's approval. You know, don't go buy anything. Don't do anything without his approval. He's supposed to be the money maker. Don't you go out and be the money spender without his approval. Because he may be keeping records and you may not. You know, so anyway, don't let that happen to you. Next verse, 55. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? That's all going to go away in the not too distant future. For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. And that's where we see it, verse 57. But thank God, He gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? He gives us the victory. So if we come to the time in our life when we're going to die, and all of us are going to someday, when we do, we should be praising God. If we're old and wore out, we should not be young and dying. I don't believe that at all. But, you know, when we get old, if you're through living or old, well, be praising God when you're on your deathbed. You know, don't be in agony, say, oh, I'm fixing to die. No, say, praise God, I'm fixing to come to the house, Lord. Praise the King. You'll get to be like Miss Maida Pennington was, that little poor little lady. She wasn't a poor little lady at all. You know, she was blessed because she knew Jesus. And our pastor at the Baptist church was sitting in her room the day that she was not feeling well. She was about 85 or 88 or something like that, fairly old. But she was a great Christian woman, and she got to feeling bad, and so they took her to the hospital, and Brother Benny Craver was over there visiting with her. And as he sat there by the bed, reading a book, because she was comatose or whatever, and the nurse told her, said, you know, she's sleeping or something, so don't bother her. So he just sat there and reading the book. He said, I'm sitting there reading the book, and all of a sudden, he said, I hear her move, and I look, and said, she looks up, and she turns to the left, and she looks right through at the wall, and she says, John, that's you. Now, John was her son that had died a few years before. He died at about 65, 68, somewhere along there. She said, John, that's you. And then she had a big smile come on her face and said, John, that's Jesus with you. And she reached her little hand up like that and grasped his hand, and her little arm fell down just like that. And he goes, nurse. And so the nurse come in and says, wow, she's gone. She just deceased. Benny said, I got to see her go home to be with Jesus. So why should there be any kind of sorrow in our heart if we know that when we reach that hand up, he's right there to take that hand and take us right into heaven? Isn't that awesome? And that's going to be your rapture. Some of you are going to get a pre-tribulation rapture. Some people out there say there's no such thing as a rapture. There's not going to be a rapture. There's definitely not going to be a pre-trib rapture. But let me tell you, everybody that's died from Jesus to now that's the believer, has gotten a pre-trib rapture. Is that right? If you died today and you go on to be with Jesus, and the normal pre-tribulation or mid-tribulation or post-tribulation rapture has not taken place, when you die, that's when you get your rapture. That's the way it is. In other words, if my body were to quit functioning right here and I were to fall dead on the floor right now, if that were to happen, before I hit the floor, I'm already going to be in heaven with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, like I said, I might be kind of like Smith Wigglesworth's wife. Now, this really happened. But he was from England, and he was one of the greatest men of faith that you can read about. I mean, he really was a man of God. But anyway, his wife died. He was out of town preaching. And his wife died, and they put her on the bed in the upstairs bedroom, and then they got in a wagon and a horse, and they had to drive to another city because there's no cars. And they went and got him and brought him back and said, Smith Polly died this morning. He didn't show any signs of anything. He came back, and he said, when he walked into the house, he said, where did you put her? And they said, she's in the upstairs bedroom. So he goes up there, and he sits down beside the bed, and he lays his hands on his wife. Now, that rigor mortis has already set in. She's hard and cold. The flesh does this. I don't care who you are. The flesh begins to decay immediately whenever it dies. Is that right? Yeah. And then within a matter of hours, you're smelling bad. You know, within 12 hours, 24 hours, you're really smelling bad. But anyway, she'd been laying there dead all day. He goes up and lays his hands on this cold, hard body and says, death, I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, I command life back in my wife, in Jesus' name. And Polly opened her eyes and looked up and said, Smith, what are you doing calling me back from the Lord? I was at home with the Lord. Now, some of you would say, wow, I thought she'd be glad. You see, she wasn't glad to come back. She didn't want to come back. He said, Molly, I can't live without you. She said, yes, you can. He said, it was my time. It was my time. Now, you're going to make it without me. You don't need me. Because God has called me home, and I'm going back home. You must release me back into the hands of the Lord. Now, she reprimanded her husband for calling her back from the dead. Now, this is a true story. It really did happen. And finally, Smith Wigglesworth was sitting there with his wife, and he hugged her, and she was warm and compassionate. She was alive and everything. And he said, Polly, I love you. I'll love you forever. And he hugged her and kissed her and everything. And he said, are you sure it's your time? I can only release you if I know it's your time. She said, Smith, it's my time. Release me to the Lord. So he pulled his arms out from around her and laid her back on the bed and said, in Jesus' name, I release you back to the Master's hands. And bam, she was hard cold again, just like that. Just think, reprimanded him for bringing her back from the dead. Does that tell you something about heaven? She didn't want to come back. She wanted to stay there. And so I will guarantee you, each one of you, when that day comes for you, when you do open your eyes on the other side in heaven, the last thing you will be thinking, I want to go back down there. No, that's going to be the last thing on your mind. You're not even going to think about coming back down here. He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. Did you hear that? Be diligent in what you do for Jesus, right? He has done things for us beyond our wildest dreams. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. In other words, did he even say that even to those that give a cup of cold water in my name, I will reward you? So if you do anything else for him, he's going to know everything you and I have done. Now, how would you like to get to heaven one day and you hadn't done nothing for Jesus? You only lived for yourself. And there's Christians like that. I know Christians on this earth that hardly ever go to church. I mean, they wouldn't tithe. You know, they wouldn't go to church. They wouldn't tithe. They would not go out and do something for somebody. Only time they do anything is if it's going to bless them. They're not interested in doing things to help somebody else. But just think, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as unto the Lord. Because he's going to be the one that's going to give you your final reward. Do you want a reward when you get to heaven?
Yes.
Boy, I do. Now, Mary's shaking her head over just like I am. I want a big reward, don't you, Mary? How about you, Tony? We want a reward, right? We want to hear the master say, well done, my children. You done a good job for me down there. You work for me. Now then, I've got one other verse I want to read, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, and then we'll call it quits for today. And we've read about all these wonderful things God's done for us. If anyone does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. If you don't go out there and tell people about Jesus, you don't pray for people, and you don't kick the devil out of their life, and you don't ask the Lord to convict them and bring them into the kingdom, anybody that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, what does that scripture say? They are what, Mike? Do you want to be cursed? You know what cursed means?
Yeah.
Cursed means you don't get to go to heaven. Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't want to be cursed. So if you've got a loved one, since I believe we're in such a close time frame for the return of Christ. Now, it may be 5 years. It may be 10 years. It may not be, maybe a year. The rapture could happen next year on Rosh Hashanah. You know that?
Yes.
It could happen in the meantime. Every day that God gives us, whatever you do, work at it diligently, work at it in love, be an obedient daughter, an obedient son, bless people, do everything you can to live for Christ. Because he's going to give us a reward someday, isn't he, brother? Yes, he is. He's going to give us a reward. Wow. Is he coming again? Yes. And he's going to come for some before others, just like Miss Maida. When he came for her, that was awesome. I'll never forget that story. Benny told that on Wednesday night at prayer meeting in a Baptist church. He said, I got to be in a room. He was still trembling. He said, I got to be in a room today where Jesus showed up. Wow. You think she's still 88 years old? You think she still looks like she did? Old and wore out. I bet she's a beautiful 30-year-old woman, don't you? 30 years old, in a glorified body, knows no realms of time, distance, and speed. Can you imagine serving the master like that? And he's going to be here on this earth for 1,000 years, reigning and ruling with us. So whatever we do, put him first, right? Work diligently with him. Father, we praise you and thank you for this gorgeous day that you've made. And we thank you for the beautiful day tomorrow. But then, Lord, winter time's coming. We're going to have a few bad, not bad days, but cold days. Lord, there's not anything wrong with it being 40 or 50. Sometimes if it's 20 below zero, I got a problem with that, but I just have to put on a bigger coat, Lord. But Lord, thank you for giving us the days you give us and blessing us with those days. And Lord, thank you for blessing us with everything you bless us with. And we give you all the praise and glory as we go out this week. We ask you to move on our spirits by your spirit and cause us to do great things for your kingdom so we can see people saved, healed, and delivered. And we thank you for your word, which is always yes and amen. So we give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Father. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all have a blessed week. And then if you're new here and don't know, all the media is free. Take whatever you want. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over there on the wall. And if you need to be prayed for, all of us will be here. The prayer warriors will be here. We got prayer warriors everywhere.